principal prayer should always be, Lord, that I may see, asking for light from the Holy Spirit. We are blind, and I mean blind. Number 27. Do not call, cling to me because. Chorus Mark 29. I have not yet ascended to the Father. This, as you know, goes back to St. John's Gospel. St. John records the dialogue between Mary Magdalene and the risen Jesus. After she had recognized it was Jesus who was speaking to her, she threw herself at his feet and clung to him. This is a more accurate translation than to say that she touched him. He told her not to hang on. Do that for two reasons. First, in heaven we may see that the blessed not only touch the Savior, but in a profound spiritual sense they cling to him. But Christ was still on earth, and Mary Magdalene was not yet in heaven. I mean it. I mean every syllable. My happiest time on earth is the time before the Blessed Sacrament. I mean it. Well, there's work to be done. Like, thanks for being here. And consequently, Christ wants us to do work. You mothers. And more than one woman calling, Father, how I envy those contemplative nuns. Take care of babies, oh Father. Well, it's God's work. So that's reason number one. Secondly, Christ gave Mary Magdalene a mission to fulfill. She was telling his absent apostles, notice, absent apostles, the men, masculine gender. Look, you came here, tell them. So then, she went over. When, in fact, to get the men. Number 28. You must look for the things that are in heaven. Corresponds 28 to 35, where Christ is sitting at God's right hand. Christ's ascension into heaven has a profound meaning in the lives of true believers. They are not to expect perfect happiness here on earth, nor complete satisfaction of the desires this side of eternity. They must look for, in the sense of seek, the satisfaction of their harsh desires in the eternal future and not in the temporal present. This is just plain common sense. We're not there yet. Is not heaven yet. The same Jesus corresponds to 31. We'll come back. The full text of the Acts of the Apostles is worth quoting. This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, shall come back in the same way as you have seen him go up to heaven. Notice St. Luke quotes the two angels speaking to the disciples after Christ's ascension. The angels assure the disciples would not only be the same Jesus who would return on the last day, he would return the same way that he ascended to heaven. His return at the end of the world will be glorious. In other words, he will appear as king and a multitude of angels. like a martyr announced his coming at Bethlehem, we're going to have our, all of us. Imagine, we're going to see a multitude of angels, and we'll hear them, even those with bad hearing. Okay. Number 30, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, corresponds to 33, was taken up into heaven. The emphasis in this revealed statement is on Christ's humanity. Just before his ascension, the incarnate God spoke in human language and was heard by his human disciples. Having completed his public ministry of proclaiming the word of God, Christ then was taken up to heaven by the power of God. No less than his resurrection, Christ's ascension was at once the work of both his divinity and his humanity. As God, he ascended to heaven, active voice, by his almighty power. But Christ was taken up as man, passive voice, because it was the will of the Father. And his human will agreed with the will of the Father. 31. For 40 days he had continued to appear to them, corresponds to 21. And to tell them about the kingdom of God. St. Luke tells us, therefore, that Christ appeared to his apostles many times during the 40 days he was on earth after his resurrection. The focus of his instruction to the apostles was to teach them about the kingdom of God. What Christ wanted to make sure was that his chosen disciples had no illusion about the purpose of the incarnation. God became man to establish a kingdom which is not a kingdom of man. It is, in every possible sense, the kingdom of God. God himself in human form established this kingdom. It is a divine kingdom, not only in origin, but in its continued life and activity. My friends, I hope you don't doubt it. Nobody in Rome doubts it. Nobody in the Vatican doubts it. The most serious crisis in the history of the church is going on right now, in this century. I think I did quote Cardinal Ratzinger, didn't I, to you? He didn't tell me this, told a friend of mine. If things continue going on the way they are, I won't be surprised, said Cardinal Ratzinger, if all the Catholics of the whole world will be put, or can be put, into the piazza of St. Peter's. And the more closely you work with Rome, that's why I'm here. Let me be as frank as I can. The last thing on earth I need is to be here today. 2 solid weeks of taping in New Mexico. Not one day break. 2 solid weeks of lectures to the missionaries of charity. Have the house at 8 in the morning, return at 6 at night. Then 5 solid days in Pennsylvania, lectures. Came home last night, and I'm here today. But I've got no illusions, none whatever. There have to be some Catholics left in the church who still have the fullness of the Catholic faith. And insofar as I can and want to help. I think I can make this announcement. I think I told you the Holy See wants a monthly magazine to be called the Catholic Catechist for the English-speaking world. Well, Ignatius Press has agreed to start publishing in April of this year. But pray, we need all the help we can get because we just don't have the money. And the opposition has millions. Even as I talk, and I'm just too closely associated with too many people, good people, well-intentioned people, but, and God does not blame them, they just don't realize the depth and the gravity of the crisis in the church. All of this is locked up in what we're talking about here. Christ then, for 40 days, continued to appear to them and spoke of the kingdom of God. And it's not, believe me, it is not a kingdom of this world, as Christ told Pilate during his passion. Number 32. There at the right hand of God corresponds to 26. He took his place. You notice I'm taking all the time I think I need for this to finish it up, and we'll have some time for questions left. As the church explained, the expression at the right hand of God does not imply, say, a position or figure of a body. And God the Father is here, and Christ as well. Yeah. Literally at his right. It rather declares that Christ has the permanent possession of royal and supreme power and glory, which he received as a man. Hear it. This man, who is God, has supreme authority over the whole world to pass judgment, both to reward and to punish. 33. Why are you men from Galilee? Corresponds with 28. Standing there looking into the sky. St. Luke is always specific in his narratives. The two angels identify the apostles as men of Galilee. And they ask the disciples where they are gazing up at the sky. The key word is standing. In effect, the apostles are told, look, stop gawking at the sky. Christ told you he's going. All right, this is not past tense. He's gone visibly from your sight. Now, there's work to do. All right, there's work to do. 34. Lifting up his hands corresponds with 23. He blessed them. Every word of the scriptures, as we've been saying, has a profound meaning. St. Luke recalls that Christ lifted up his hands to bless the apostles. Christ's blessing was visibly manifested by lifting up his hands. This gesture of lifting up symbolized Christ's power of intercession before the throne of God. The blessing symbolized the descent of grace. He raised, then he lowered. By raising, he identifies His union with the Father, by lowering, he symbolized the descent of grace on those whom he was blessing. And 35, it is not as though Christ has entered a man-made sanctuary, corresponds to 24. It was heaven itself. St. Paul explains in detail what it cost Christ to redeem a sinful world. It cost him nothing less than the shedding of his blood on the cross. Hear it, and I'll say it, and live it. To work with Christ, to cooperate with him in the salvation of others, you parents of your children, me as a priest, the shedding of our blood, you and I become autobiographical and indulge in certain details. I just want to bring out something to hopefully inspire you to realize this is a Christ who was crucified, died, was buried, but rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. But every going to be glorified and ascend with him, we too must be crucified like him and with him. And I can tell you, the greatest joy on earth is suffering with, for, and like Jesus Christ. And that is not a literary hyperbole. I mean it. Okay, now some questions. Father Harton, what do you recommend for couples who, during a time of estrangement from the church, committed the grave mortal sin of sterilization? How are we to make reparation when the cost of reversal of this operation is outside of our ability to pay? Well, tell you what, and I'm serious, if the sterilized condition can be reversed, I hereby offer you, because we meet privately, I offer to help you raise the money. Okay? Yeah, it's worth it. If it cannot be reversed, then adopt children. I have a dear friend who sincerely believes in ecumenism. She was brought up in a family that participated in ecumenical community. She is constantly asking me to attend meetings and Bible studies. I don't want to be uncharitable to her. How do I break the news to her that I cannot participate in ecumenical services and studies? Well, I tell you what. And we need it. I just hope that somebody will take me seriously. We need to organize. There are enough here. And one really zealous person is enough. We should organize, and really organize, a good Catholic Bible study program. And then invite the Protestants to join us. I got a letter from Minnesota in which one group in a city, a Protestant Bible study program, 400 women, 300 men, one-third are Catholic, truly Protestant, as the Catholics want to actively participate and somehow promote the program, each must style a statement rejecting the Pope. Do you hear me? Sign a statement. In January 1995. Let's get going. I've recently heard a comparison made between the new Mass as an inferior sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice as an inferior sacrifice, unworthy and honoring God's great majesty, watching abuses spread, and the mentality of casualness and disrespect for the sacrifice. He does not make one wonder. Please comment. Well, in a way, I'm saddened to read this, because I'm afraid that behind the thinking is a certain, call it desperation. There surely are, God knows and we know, there are priests who are abusing the Mass, and that's being mild. Well, there are priests who are not abusing the Mass. In other words, don't blame the so-called Novus Ordo. And this is Rome's directives to me. If you want to get action done, now this behind closed doors, they tell me. I won't identify the Vatican official who tells me. But the two things you can always use are money and publicity. In other words, just don't support certain programs that are contrary to your Catholic convictions. And, well, by the way, all that we said about human respect, other people have human respect too. And we are human beings. They want our respect. There are ways of, well, assuring them they would be, well, more respected. And there are ways of, well, I don't say, unless it's very serious, publicly indicting or criticizing them, though that too is not out of order. Please explain Mary as the mediatrix of all graces. She is the mediatrix of all graces in three ways. First of all, except for her, we wouldn't have Jesus Christ, from whom all graces come. Secondly, Mary is mediatrix of all graces by having cooperated with Christ from the moment she conceived him to the moment he expired on the cross. In other words, in a profound sense, she can be called a co-redemptrix in having cooperated with the Divine Son when he, during his visible stay on earth, was redeeming the world. And thirdly, she is mediatrix by now interceding for us with her Divine Son. She knows what we need, and her intercession is powerful. So powerful indeed, as we know from the marriage feast at Cana, that she obtains miracles. If the first miracle that Christ worked was through his mother's intercession, we may safely say this is the way he generally works miracles, through his mother's intercession. Do I call him Mida? Has not permitted the Trinity Mass in the Archdiocese of Detroit. I think because of pressure under which not just he, but also his predecessor was. We'll leave his evidence of that pressure, and we'll have the Tridney Mass in Detroit. Do you think that the Catholic Eastern Rite is more deep in faith support of the Holy Father? Well, in general, from all that I have heard and seen, I think fewer liberties have been taken in the Eastern Rites of churches united with Rome have been taken in the Latin. And Mother being Byzantine, my sympathies are understandably with the Eastern Rites. Why doesn't the Church speak out against the evils of Freemasonry and secular humanism? Well, she does. In other words, it's not just the Pope himself speaking. It is others, including this sinner. One reason that for 25 years I've been working with the Holy See is because, well, I'm doing my job. I should add, by the way, let's be sure, and I'm being paid in Mazuma by the Vatican. Is there an assignment for next week from the faith? Is it next week? Not quite, is it?
Yes.
Is it next week? Oh, yes. Well, for next week, first from the Acts of the Apostles, it will be Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, up to what page did I give you to read?
106.
Please?
106.
106. Up to 106?
Yes.
Well, 107, 108, 109, and 110. Up to baptism. Exclusive. Then we'll start with the sacrament of baptism in the following class. Okay? And the same thing, by the way, I just want to draw as much as I can from you people. Do you think it was a good idea for you to submit questions?
Yes.
I'll give you an idea also. In other words, not elongated questions. Think before you write out the question so it's as pertinent as possible, you see. And read beforehand. Don't just draw the question from thin air. Is that okay then? Thank you. Would you recommend a book that is appropriate to inform non-Catholics who are married to Catholics about the doctrine and practice of the Roman Catholic Church? Oh, well, I don't have a copy here, but pardon me, my own pocket Catholic catechism was written for that purpose. It's a double-day publication, pocket Catholic catechism. Anybody happen to have a copy here? It's, I think, a great cover. It's highly compact, and the language is as simplified as I can make it, even have people help me to simplify the language, but it's all there. would you announce the conference up at Lapeer? Oh, thanks. Is it this Saturday?
Yes.
This Saturday I'm to be on the program. Could you let me see it? This Saturday there's a conference from 9 to 3. Saturday, February the 4th, Church of the Immaculate Conception, 810, is in the Passing Strait in Lapeer, sponsored by Eternal Life. And there'll be two of us, Father Edmund McCaffrey and myself. Mass at 9 o'clock. I'm speaking on euthanasia, the pagan denial of the value of suffering, as my first talk. 11 o'clock, Father McCaffrey is speaking on contraception, the devil's work. Then, at 1:15, I'm speaking, are pro-life and compromise compatible? Are pro-life and compromise compatible? And then at 2:15, there'll be questions that will have been submitted and answered. So thanks. Oh. These are Pledge of the Legion of Decency, which, now we talked about this in our last class. Here. One to a customer. Or take two if you wish, provided everybody gets a copy. I think something should be done. And maybe the next time we meet, we can make it more formal. And what I would like to do is somehow nationalize this program, if we could, have people commit themselves even on a national scale. Question. My son is being taught many errors in his confirmation class. One of them is that we will not have a body in heaven. My son was so confused and disappointed. Can you expand on the happiness we will experience in heaven besides a glorified body? He needs to hear something positive. He left class so upset, he actually said, if heaven is that boring, I might as well look at hell. Well, if somebody would remind, Carol, would you remind me to bring something for class on the joys of heaven, including the bodily joys of heaven? It's especially St. Augustine, who has written extensively on the subject. What can you tell us about Ligori Publications, which is run by the Redemptorists? In general, Ligori Publications, in general, I think they're good, in general. However, I have found they do, in certain ways, compromise. And one way in which they compromise is, as you know, there have been some outstanding moral theologians, some of whom have been very faithful to the church, and some...
This is a book. Someone asked me to... Father Perl wanted to know what we
did. Is this a great publication?
Yeah.
Thank you. And some more theologians that have not been all that faithful. So here, for example, well, I haven't read this. How to survive being married to a Catholic? I repeat. I have found them in general to be sound, but I have also found them on certain areas compromising. What is the church's position or teaching on developing intuitive abilities such as psychotronics or yes, it's radiesthesia. I must confess I'm not that familiar with either psychotronics or radiesthesia. I can find out more. I know some psychology with my own graduate degree in the field. It all depends on whether you're tampering with the human will and or opening the will to being itself subject to certain influences. For example, hypnosis. Under certain conditions can be morally justified, but they better be very carefully controlled conditions. It's also, by my clock, 4:19. Can I go to 4:30? A Eucharistic minister was told by the head of the worship commission to dispose of leftover hosts in the potted plants. Well, all I can tell you is that with the help of then Cardinal Carberry, who was Vice President of the United States Catholic Conference and the National Conference of Catholic Bishops, for 6 years, Cardinal Carberry and I worked with him, tried everything in his power to prevent this Eucharistic minister business to be, well, adopted and practiced in the United States. And it began, as you know, with communion in the hand. I didn't see the statement, but somebody quoted Mother Teresa as in writing saying, among the greatest evils in the church is communion in the hand. That's a large statement. By the way, she's right. In other words, not even a question of which goes first. Is the faith is lost first, and then the practice follows, or the practice is preceded, and then the faith is lost as a consequence? What is our assignment for next week? I gave it. By the way, this is a good class. Oh, any class that reminds me of their assignment. Oh. I thought that Christ released the souls of the just when he descended to hell right after his death. Please explain. Well, there are various explanations, but the explanation that I have given over the years for Christ descended to hell was Christ visiting the souls that were kept in what they call the limbo of the fathers. But he did not yet take them with him to the heaven to which he had not himself yet ascended. Should the Blessed Sacrament properly be referred to with a masculine pronoun, not the neuter? I would say, put this way, it could be neuter as Blessed Sacrament, though I think the masculine, depending on the context, preferably would be masculine. Is there such a shortage of priests? Why are the retired priests? Health seldom seems to be the reason for a bishop or a priest to retire. Well, age is one factor, certain canonical age which they reach. Another reason is much deeper. There is such a thing as both retiring and being retired. And only God knows the sufferings of many priests who are retired, removed, because of what I would call their severe orthodoxy. Should or can the babies killed in abortion be compared to the holy innocents? May the aborted babies be considered in heaven as martyrs? We may consider the martyrs, but the justification, of course, is a probability, because we are not absolutely sure that an unbaptized, unborn child goes to heaven. Would you comment on the way the sign of peace is given in the Maronite Rite? I'm not familiar how it's given, so I'd have to first find out how it's given. I can't. I could hear.
Whoever wants the answer to that question should see him after class.
Yes, well, they can give it after. Let me try to finish as much as I can. A close relative, has Alzheimer's. We think he was baptized a Catholic as an infant, but his father left the church and he has never practiced the faith. Can he be given absolution? Well, if he's not conscious, of course he can be given absolution conditionally. If he is conscious, well, he should be talked to and at least be persuaded to receive absolution. If he's anywhere within reachable distance, let me know and I'll do what I can. When an unbaptized person marries a baptized person, does the baptized person receive the sacrament of matrimony? No. I have had the two priests tell me that the dispensation for disparity of cult gives their permission to give the sacrament of matrimony baptized party. If they are wrong, what do I say? Well, be kind, be real nice, smile when you say it. Tell them they're wrong. Oh, Father, I'm afraid you are mistaken. A parish in our diocese has a special close liturgy of closure when the marriage ends either in annulment or diocese. Please comment. I think it is a pathetic mistake. At Mass, after the reading, the lector once said, "This is the word of the Lord." Now the lector says, "The word of the Lord." Can you comment on this? Yes. The Latin says simply, "Verbum Domini." word of the Lord. So we're catching up with the original Latin. There never was, this is, to begin with. Thank you for your questions. It is 4:35. Thank you for your patience. Shall we pray? And let's pray in Latin. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc in hora mortis nostre, Amen. Regina, sine labe originale concepta, ora pro nobis. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, Amen. Father Downey, are we the two priests here? Suppose we give the people a blessing in Latin, okay? Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen. Thank you, and may God bless you. We have class next week?
Yes.
I'll be here.